Thank you, Richard, Lori, and Linda, for leading us in our time together this morning through song. Richard filling in for Zach, who really wanted to be up here to sing, but I made the decision for him that he could only do the announcements and benediction today, because he still does not have much of a voice from the sickness that has been going around and has been hitting so many of our members. So, but thank you, Richard, for filling in last minute. And it is always a blessing to hear different voices lead us, or at least facilitate us in our time of worship together through song. And that includes your own. And today, I heard a wonderful voice from the congregation. I say voice because that is the intent, to be one voice, to lift our voice up in unison to glorify and praise our King and our God. And I heard that this morning. And chalk it up to a new room, new material in our room, creating better acoustics, I don't care. But today you sounded amazing. You sound amazing every Sunday, but today I heard the voice of the congregation calling out to their God and King. And it did my heart wonders, but I know it did the heart of the Father wonders this morning. This morning, we continue in our series through the book of Genesis. This morning, looking at the first 40 verses of Genesis chapter 27, where Isaac blesses Jacob. And what we will see in just a little bit is Jacob, with the assistance of his mother, takes the blessing that was going to be his regardless, because it was the will of God, but as his name is fitting, usurps his brother in that blessing. But what you see this morning is that even though they conspired to gain this blessing for Jacob, it was the will of the Father that Jacob would be the one chosen to be the father of the nation of Israel. Jacob will eventually have his name changed to Israel. We will see that in the coming chapters. What I want to show you this morning of how God's covenant blessing withstands deception, withstands schemes. And to do that, let us turn our attention to Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 40. Moses, under the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God, records these words first to the nation of Israel while they were sojourning in the wilderness, and then to us, beginning when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so he could not see. He called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine and drink. When his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Verse 31. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for your servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in our life. We thank you that we are able to gather together in your presence, in your house, to worship and glorify you, to be reminded of your grace and your mercy, to be reminded of your covenant promises leading up to and clarifying the covenant promise made through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we search your word today, that we would hear your voice above all else. That even as I share this sermon, Father, that they would not hear my voice, but they would hear your voice. And that you would move in the hearts here in this room to charge us with the work that you have called us to, the work that lays outside of these four walls, the work that we must be diligent to do until the day you return. Be with us this morning, Father, we pray, in your Son's holy name. Amen. We could have spent probably 4 weeks on these 40 verses, probably a year on these 40 verses, but it is one cohesive story. And even in what we will see next week as we conclude the rest of 27 and look into 28, we see God's covenant promise unfolding even more. But what we see in our text this morning, first and foremost, is that the covenant blessing of God is not man's to give. What we see in the opening, just to break down the text for you, is that Isaac is failing in health. His eyesight is growing dim to where he can't see. He's probably already blind. In today's terms, he's probably been legally blind for months, if not years. And so before he passes, he desires to taste one last meal from his favorite son rather than to attempt to heal the division in his family, the division he and his wife have caused. You see throughout this text that Esau is referred to as Isaac's son. Jacob is referred to as Rebekah's son. Clear division. They each have their favorite. And it pits brother against brother. It causes division. And Isaac, who would know the covenant blessing of God, who would know what God has said, what God does, even through his failures, desires to have one last meal from his favorite son in order to give his favorite son the blessing of God. The blessing that Isaac received after his father Abraham had passed. But it was God who passed the blessing on to Isaac, not Abraham who passed the blessing on to Isaac. And I love how Warren Wiersbe put it in his commentary on this passage. Wiersbe wrote, "Isaac, the man who meditated and prayed in the fields at evening and who petitioned God on behalf of his wife, wanted only one thing, a savory meal of venison. Instead of seeking to heal the family feud that he and his wife caused by their selfish favoritism, Isaac perpetuated the feud and destroyed his own family. So much so that his wife is listening in and schemes to get Jacob the blessing rather than Esau. Isaac could have tried to help his sons understand God's sovereignty, understand God's dominion, understand God's power, especially when it came to the covenant promise that was passed down to him by God Almighty. But no, he chooses the carnal to satisfy his own desires rather than to glorify God by calling Esau, his favorite son, to him and saying, go, take your weapons and your bow and arrow and go and kill an animal and bring it to me and prepare it for me to eat so that I may bless you. And all the while of having this conversation, we see Rebekah scheming that she desires for her favorite son, her favorite child, to receive the blessing that God already had said that would be Jacob's to begin with. God told them that when Rebekah inquired about what was going on with the pregnancy and feeling jostling in her womb. And so she inquires of God, and God tells her, there's not just one nation, there are two in your womb. And the older shall serve the younger. Declared for by God, and we will see that even more here in a second. But she desires for her favorite to receive the blessing, so she develops a plan for Jacob to gain the blessing. And in doing so, she leads her own son down a path of sin, of unrighteousness. She devises her own plan. She would know the blessing of God because she would not be a stranger to it, being married to Isaac. Even how she came to be Isaac's wife, and understanding that this is of the Lord God Almighty. And what we see happening in her scheming of this plan, knowing the very word of God, she thinks her idea is better. She decides to twist God's idea. Well, God's already said that Jacob would receive the blessing, and this must be how it plays out. Which mirrors what happened in the garden. Which mirrors what happened with Eve and Adam, who both together, when they were deceived, when the serpent, more crafty than any of the other beasts, what we see in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, they are clearly together, but here's the serpent in Genesis 3, just to remind you of what we looked at months ago, who said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Jacob would have heard the stories from his parents, would have heard of what God did to his grandfather, Abraham, would have heard of how God led Abraham's servant to the watering hole at the right time when the women came out to draw water, and would have heard about the prayer that the servant prayed to God, saying, "If this is your will, let the first woman I see offer not to just to give me water, but then to water the camels." Jacob would have heard that. And he would have heard of God's sovereignty, of God's power and dominion. And yet, his mother is leading her own son down a path of unrighteousness. And what's more is Isaac willfully follows and deceives his dad. Though he questions because he looks nothing like his brother, they are very distinct from one another. Esau is hairy and probably has a bit deeper voice. Isaac is smooth and has probably a bit higher voice, but we know genetics. We know that in families, siblings can sound like each other. And he sounds just enough like Esau that his mother's like, "Don't worry about it. We'll just take some of your brother's clothes, make you wear them, and then put the lamb's coat on you to cover up your hairlessness in the areas where your brother is naturally hairy." But what we see is Isaac willfully following and deceiving his dad, and it's the truth, and being true to the meaning of his name, he's supplanted, usurped his brother, not just in birthright, but in taking the blessing. We already saw what he did with his brother in the birthright, is that his brother comes in from the field driven by hunger and smells the stew that Jacob has made and says, "Give me some because I'm about to die. I'm famished." So Jacob's like, "You want my stew? Give me your birthright. If it's that much to you, give me the birthright." And Esau said, it's nothing to me. I want food. I need food. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it another minute." And he despised his birthright. And then we see through all of this, Jacob before his father. His father, leery at, is this possibly truly Esau? Sounds like Jacob, but he feels like Esau. Could Esau be a little sick, a little under the weather, which many of us are in this room? Okay, well, then it truly must be Esau, and he's brought me exactly what I asked for, but how did he do it so quickly? And Jacob says, "Well, your God blessed me in this endeavor that I might receive the blessing." And so Isaac blesses Jacob. And shortly after Jacob probably making haste to get out of his father's presence, knowing that his brother's due back any minute, then sees Esau come in with the preparations done. And Isaac is confused, but not for long, and realizes that he just blessed the younger rather than his favorite. Although by deception, but the covenant blessing was not even Isaac's to give. It is God's and God's alone. And yet we see Esau, after missing out on this blessing, begs his dad for a blessing, even just a small one. And his dad gives him a bit of a blessing, but it's more of a curse. But due to how he and his brother were raised, Esau believed his father's blessing was contingent on his works to impress his father. Believed that he had to earn the blessing from his father. Believed he had to earn the love from his father. Which many even today still believe when it comes to our Heavenly Father. And then he casts blame entirely on Jacob for now having cheated him out of what he believed was rightfully his. But again, we see in just the preceding passages that that blessing was never going to be his. That God was going to use Jacob over Esau. That Esau thinks it's his because that's what the world says is his. That the world standard is that the firstborn gets the blessing, gets the inheritance. The second is high and dry. And so he casts blame entirely on Jacob, and yet he is just as much to blame because he despised one, his birthright. And most likely that blessing would have meant nothing to him. More importantly, though, is that the blessing would have comes from God alone. It doesn't come from Isaac, though Isaac's the one trying to give it. It comes from God alone. And then Isaac does give a blessing of sorts to Esau and tells him exactly what life will be like in the closing verses of our text this morning. In verses 39 and 40, Isaac says to Esau, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live. He shall be a contentious individual, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Not the blessing Esau wanted, but still a prophetic word of what life will be like for him, especially in relationship to his brother Jacob. And what we see in our text this morning is that though man tries to give the covenant blessing, they can't. Isaac had no right to pass that covenant blessing on. Only God could do that. And what that leads us to is seeing a bit of more clearly of man's foolishness in light of God's glory. Of seeing how God even uses man's foolishness, uses our foolishness to bring about or to reveal, more importantly, his glory. And when we consider that, we realize that deception does not bring blessings. It should not bring blessings. We see deception in our text. We see what's going on, that Rebecca schemes to deceive her own husband, her beloved, using her favorite child in order to receive the blessing. Do not think that deception brings about blessings. No, it is the will of God that brings about the blessing. But he's clearly using their foolishness to make them think. Not that God makes them think, but God uses their foolishness where they think they are in control in order for this blessing to be passed on. Jacob does receive the blessing in the end, but it is not because of Rebekah's doing or Jacob's willingness to follow, because both are deep in sin at that point for deceiving the husband, deceiving the father. But Jacob receives the blessing because it is of God, from God, and to the glory of God. Just as God will continue to use the foolishness of this world to bring about and further reveal his glory, we will see that with Joseph in the coming chapters. Joseph, an arrogant brother. A brother who his other brothers probably thought he was quite the jerk. God still uses his arrogance to humble him. Uses the foolishness of his own brothers to provide for them, all to his own glory. We see it with Moses. We will see it with Daniel. We will see it with the calling of the 12 disciples, those whom the world said they are the outcast, they are the pariah, they are the cancer of society, and yet it's the very individuals that Christ called to shame the wise. And what we see is that the blessing is still given, and that God will provide and will bless. God will cause nations to fall before Jacob. God, those who curse him will be cursed, and those who bless him will be blessed, all to and for the glory of God. And all of this serves as a reminder of the very thing God spoke to Abraham and then to Isaac, which we looked at a little bit last week. What we see in Genesis 15:1 and 26:24 of God saying to these two individuals, I am with you and I will bless you. And it will be the very same thing spoken to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, what we will see in the coming weeks, verses 10 through 22, but specifically in verse 15, of God declaring to Jacob, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, that is the promised land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What we see is God declaring his glory. What we see is God revealing that he is the one who passes the blessing on, not man. And God uses man's foolishness, not just to bring about his own glory, but to emphasize his glory, to emphasize and remind his people of what he has already declared and what he is already doing. God does that numerous times throughout Scripture to remind his people of who he is, what he has promised them and promised to them, and what he is doing for them, all to his own glory and praise. And this is true of what we see in our text this morning as man tries to thwart God by passing God's promise on to the next generation as their own blessing. And what we see is that God's blessing already stood for Jacob. Isaac knew that Jacob would be blessed by God. The blessing was not his to ultimately give. What was his to give was helping his kids understand God's covenant. That was his duty, to help his children understand the covenant that God made with Abraham, that it was to the glory of God, to help them understand that there is one true God and he can be known, and he has revealed himself not just through creation but through this covenant blessing, which would be passed from generation to generation, not because of father to son but because of God Almighty. And it was not something that Rebekah needed to circumvent, because again, she would have known the word of God because she inquired of God. And what we saw in Genesis 25, verse 23, of God revealing to Rebekah, saying, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. God chose Jacob before he and Esau were even born. Before they were even in their mother's womb, God had chosen Jacob. God had chosen Jacob to be the one that would ultimately lead to Jesus Christ. God uses the foolish things of this world to reveal and emphasize his glory. So much so that God used the most foolish thing of the world to reveal his glory ultimately, and that is the cross of Calvary. That is where we are being led to in the end, is the cross of Calvary, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And it's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 declares these words for us in verse 18, and you can read 18 through 31 to see why we preach the cross. But in verse 18, Paul says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, those who remain dead to their trespasses. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, meaning to us who have been led to the point of repentance by the Spirit and confessing faith in Jesus Christ, who are being made a new creation every single day, who are in the process of being sanctified. That's the ongoing process of our salvation. It is the power of God. And then you jump down to verse 20. After Paul says a bit in verse 19, he says, "Where's the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And then in verses 22 through 24, he says, "For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, as a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." And then he closes out the passage with this: of God using the foolishness of man to reveal his own glory, to declare his power and majesty. Paul says this in verse 27 to the end: "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." The covenant blessing was not man's to give, but God used the foolishness of Isaac, of Rebekah, of Jacob, of Esau, to declare his own glory. And we see that perpetuated throughout the entirety of Scripture, up to the giving of the new covenant through Jesus Christ, and why Paul can, with great assurance, declare to the first century church and then to us today that we preach Christ crucified, knowing that it is folly to those who are perishing. To those who remain dead to their trespasses, ensnared by sin, it is folly. They can't comprehend it. But to those who have surrendered completely to faith in Jesus Christ because of the Spirit working in their hearts, the only thing it can be is the power of God. To him be the glory forever and ever. That is what we see in our text this morning, of why it leads us to the cross of Calvary, why it leads us to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the guarantor of a much better covenant. Again, as we look at the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that's been passed down from generation to generation, not because of Abraham, not because of Isaac, not because of Jacob, but because of God alone, it points us to the new covenant, which is the covenant that God uses to declare his glory, to wipe out the debt that we could never pay for. That is what we see in our text this morning. That is what I want you to see in our text as we move week after week through Genesis. To God be the glory now and forevermore. Amen. And as we move into our time of response, I invite you to respond in whatever way the Spirit is leading you. Richard and the ladies will come up. They'll lead us in a song of response. I'll be up here to pray with. I'm going to invite Brother Larry to be up here now that we actually have steps back. But I invite you to respond in whatever way the Spirit is leading you. If you want to pray at your seat, you can. If you want to pray with one of us, you can. If you want to pray through singing the words of this song, you can, because use this as a song of prayer. But you respond in whatever way the Spirit's leading you.